This is KRCU's Going Public podcast. I'm Dan Woods. Covering everything from education and politics to conservation efforts and health and science, nothing is off limits on KRCU's Going Public. Thanks for listening. COVID-19 remains top of mind among the leadership at Southeast Missouri State University. Southeast recently announced its plans for late summer and fall 2020 semester with the goal of mitigating the risk of COVID-19 on the campus. To talk us through the plans and how it was developed, we're joined by Dr. Carlos Vargas, president of Southeast Missouri State University, and Kathy Mangels, vice president for finance and administration here at Southeast. And welcome to you both.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about first, how the plan was developed. And I understand there's an emergency response team. So, Kathy, why don't you start off by telling us about that group?
Yes. So the university has an emergency response team that's been meeting since March. And that really falls under the umbrella of a structure we have here at Southeast called Emergency Operations Center. And that's based on national protocol for emergency response. And it's a structure in place that has units around campus that we may need to call on in the event of an emergency. And the response team is made up of individuals that are needed based on the incident that we're dealing with. So in this case, COVID-19, which does infect the entire campus, we have 25 members that are meeting as part of that response team. And so what they're doing is they're looking at the issues that need to be addressed on campus. They're looking at best practices from both our local, national officials that assist us from other institutions and developing guidelines and plans to guide the campus.
So The team changes based on the circumstance. So a winter weather team might be different from this particular team, right?
Exactly. And you would be surprised how many times maybe during an academic year you need to pull together response teams. Sometimes it can be very minimal. Think of weather, as you indicated, in Southeast Missouri, tornadoes. Winter weather always happens. It could be something related to a police matter. It could be something related to a building. For instance, if you have a power outage, that would draw actually a form of our emergency response team together to develop plans on how are we going to deal with a power outage. So many examples that people may not realize that we are using our emergency operations center to deal with those kind of incidents on campus.
In this particular situation, I'm guessing that the Cape County Health Department has been, are they like part of it, a special thing, or are they always there depending on what happens?
Because of the limits on their time, they can't be part of all of our emergency response team meetings, but their help has been invaluable, their guidance. We have on multiple occasions had them speak not only with the full emergency response team, but we have some subcommittees dealing with specific issues that we need to address. And so they've provided guidance to smaller subgroups as well.
Okay. And I know there's been a plan that's been developed. So, Dr. Vargas, I'll let you sort of kind of walk us through the plan for the fall, because it's going to be a lot different than what everyone's typically been used to in the past.
Right. This is a very unusual situation that we're living, as we all know. And so we came together as part of the emergency response team that Kathy mentions. We actually the 25-person group that we have, we broke it up into a group of subcommittees, and we have one on campus guidelines, we have one on campus signage, we have one on events and mass gatherings, classroom safety is another one, communications committee is another one, and then the residence hall safety committee. So, and that's because the pandemic is affecting every one of those aspects. So in some ways, this is a mega emergency because it involves so many different people. Well, as part of the response and in an effort to try to mitigate and reduce the spread of the virus, in conversations with the faculty, we agreed that we would reduce the length of the semester. So we would start at the same time that we would have normally started, and then we would end by Thanksgiving, so that when the students leave, they don't come back right away, because the assumption is that when you travel back and forth, you're likely to be infected and then come back and then infect the location that you come from. So that's the plan that we have put in place. And so there's specific dates. The last day of classes on campus would be in November 24th, just prior to the Thanksgiving break. Okay. That doesn't mean that there will not be classes after Thanksgiving. There will be. We just will transition from the face-to-face to the remote learning for the last week of classes after Thanksgiving. And then there will be 1 week of finals, and that final week is going to also transition into a remote testing a week, so that what you would have normally had as a testing class is now going to be a test that you're going to be taking remotely. And that's going to be discussed and agreed upon with the faculty member teaching the class. So the faculty members will be actually incorporating the guidelines for that portion of the semester, after Thanksgiving, in their syllabi, so that the students from the very beginning understand how it's going to change. And in some cases, the exam might very well be a project. So the exams are going to take different shapes and modalities. But the students will know ahead of time, so they'll have the rest of the semester at the beginning to prepare for that.
So let me ask you, we're trying to limit, going back and forth. Is there anything that stops a student from going home during the semester, though? Because, we ideally don't want them to, right, Kathy?
Right.
But say there's a family member who's sick. What happens if they have to leave?
This really has to do with what I would call risk management. So there will be risk. During the semester, during the first 14 weeks of the semester, the students, at the end of every week, they could just go home and come back. But the assumption is that during those typical standard weekends, that the amount of social gatherings that they will be exposed to will not be as large.
Okay.
When you go back for a longer period or for a holiday, then the chances of you engaging in gatherings that are a bit more prone to promote the transmission of the virus increases. So we're not totally eliminating the risk. It really is reducing the risk of transmission.
Was this something that the Cape County Health, I know they've looked at the plan, right, Kathy?
Yes, and this was really part of their guidance as well. They've shared with us, as the president said, no organization, whether it's the university or any other organization, can you completely eliminate the risk. But you try to control what you can control to minimize the risk, as the president said. And when you think of the scale of our institution and the number of people, you look for ways that in a scaled measure, you can try to control some of the risk. And so it was with their advice that you look at how can you potentially limit that exposure, as the president said, to times when there is more likelihood to be around large groups of people. So their advice was that you look either at the beginning or the end of the semesters when you can control somewhat that calendar. And we do have some control over that, as the president said, mm-hmm. and see if you can minimize that movement of a large group of people kind of off campus and back on, and the exposure they bring. So I will say the local health department is very pleased after reviewing our plan and these changes to the calendar. We have the goal here not only of protecting the health and safety of our employees and students, but also as a member of the larger community, part of our responsibility is not contributing to the spread in the greater Cape Girardeau community. And so that's why we work so closely together, and we keep that goal in mind as we make these plans.
So I know, we're going to be here on Labor Day. Students will be attending classes, but there still will be things that will be happening. So IT will still be operating IT, the shuttle service. So things will be a little bit different, right?
Yeah. With anything, and this pandemic is of a scale that we haven't dealt with before, either as a university, a state, a country, we have to adapt. And so we understand, as we put these plans together, that as we ask our faculty and our students to adapt, we also still need to serve them. That's at the core of what we do, always, is serving those students. And so as a group, we looked at and asked academic affairs especially, what do you think are the important services that a student needs when they're here on campus and in class? And so they helped develop a list of things like IT computer labs, make sure they can get access to a computer and a printer and do assignments, counseling services, if someone is in need of some services, the shuttle, make sure we can still get them back and forth from the River campus to the Cape campus. And so these services that will be open was developed with input from academic affairs, keeping in mind what do students need when they're around campus in classes.
Are there any concerns about, without breaks in a semester, about the students being more stressed? Is that a concern, something that you, I'm sure it came up at the meeting probably?
Yes, and actually it's an interesting question because if you think about the last 4 or 5 years, we actually have not had a break. Before that, we used to have a break, a fall break, right? A couple of days in the in October, around October, typically. And that was eliminated at one point. And the last few years, actually, there's been no break. This was going to be the first time that we were going to return to that fall break, which was planned for October 8 and 9. And so that would have then resulted in students going home and promoting that kind of higher risk activity level that we are trying to avoid. So by not having that break, we're actually going to continue to do it the same way that we've done it before. Now, true, Labor Day is indeed one that we normally don't have classes. It's a holiday. And so we have then agreed that Labor Day will be a class day, and that there will not be a break. And that is to try to, and then the Thanksgiving week, by the way, it used to be, it has been the whole week that the students take. We're going to go back to the way we did it before, which is there will be classes Monday and Tuesday. And so there are going to be 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, that will be, the students will be off. And of course, after they leave, they won't come back. And we're doing that, if you think about it, it's the Labor Day, October 8 and 9, those are 3 days, and then Monday and Tuesday are 5 days. That essentially is equivalent to another week of classes that they would have normally not had. So that week is going to be made up by that. And then the last week is going to be one that's going to be taking place remotely after the Thanksgiving.
Okay. There's some guidance for... as far as PPE and employee student guidelines, Kathy, can we kind of go through some of the things, some of the guidance that's going to be provided to folks?
Yeah. So we knew it was important when we started bringing departments back from teleworking to provide guidance on what is the expectation, because there is a lot that you hear in the news and that. And so we wanted to make it clear for our employees first as they were coming back. And then we'll do the same for our students when they come back in the fall. But, you know, what is the expectation in order to protect their health and safety and that of their coworkers and anyone else on campus? So one of the subcommittees that we had of the emergency response team actually was charged with helping draft the guidelines. And those have been approved and they're out on our COVID website. And so there's some basics that as things change, and I think for all of us in trying to deal with this, one of the big challenges has been there may be one guidance at the national level, another guidance at the state level, another guidance locally, and trying to put those together. But there's some common things throughout there that really haven't changed. And so that is, you know, watching your symptoms. And if you have any of the symptoms, stay home. You know, stay home, and if you're feverish or have those symptoms, consult your physician. Keeping the 6 feet social distancing, and that's been out there from the beginning. If you can't maintain the 6 feet social distancing, wearing a mask when you're together for a prolonged period. And then also the hand washing. That has been, you know, another critical item, whether it's this strain of the virus or flu B, others that we've gone to. You know, keeping your hygiene is very important. And so we've outlined those expectations in this document. Now, the university is coordinating through facilities management the purchase of the kind of things that employees need to be safe. So the hand sanitizer, the mask, for those areas where we have public interaction. Think of your front counters where you're providing services. We're working with our departments to provide the clear sneeze guards. So all of that is being coordinated between our facilities management department and in public safety where we house our emergency management position here at the university.
You're listening to Going Public. We're talking with Kathy Mangles and Dr. Carlos Vargas from Southeast Missouri State University. So, Dr. Vargas, I know there's a lot of information, and everything we're talking about is on the COVID-19 webpage, right? So all this information has been put together in one location, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes, everything is there, and every time we issue any kind of information or guidance for the community, we put it there.
Let me talk technology for a minute. This is something I've been curious about. When we moved and did a lot of things from home, classes and work, were we ready for that, Kathy? Are we going to be doing some things coming? I know there's a new system coming for doing online learning. Are we going to have to do some things differently down the road?
You know, I think it was a good test for all of us of how prepared we were to keep moving in this online world that we live in. And so I will say, I think from the standpoint of technology, I think we were pretty well prepared when we moved to teleworking. Part of the challenge was working with employees of what kind of access do you have in your individual homes to be able to access. Do you have a laptop? If not, the university provided one. You know, a good internet access. It's something we talk about a lot here. Yes. And not just from the employee standpoint, but from the student. And we talk about that not in this situation, but just with the ability to get good internet access in rural areas. And so we did see some of that, and whether it was a student or a faculty staff member had challenges. And so the university actually worked with providers to get some hotspots in some instances to provide to them so they could have access out in rural areas. I will say the providers stepped up. And a lot of them, like a Charter or Verizon, if you needed it for educational purposes and didn't have it, they were giving 60 days free. And so we helped facilitate that through our telecommunications department with several individuals. But looking ahead, you know, we all had to do that very quickly. Would we have liked to had better things in place with more time? Absolutely. So now as we look to the fall, there is a lot going on in looking at outfitting classrooms that will do online or blended or some varying instruction. And so there's been a lot of work by the classroom committee, academic affairs, along with IT to enhance classrooms. And so there's varying technologies that are being tried out. So it's giving the opportunity to try some different methods to capture lectures in the classroom and share those, to even try different types of classes. So there is several sections of classes that are going to be offered in the fall that are called HyperFlex. And so when you think of that name, this is flexibility in a hyper sense, in that it offers a lot of options to the student in what works best for them to be part of that class. So there will be a face-to-face component, and if that works best for you, you can still come and be part of the face-to-face. It will be captured, and so you could be watching it live at the same time, remotely, if that works better for you. You can switch in between. So people are very creative in using technology and thinking about flexibility in this new environment. So I think there's actually some very exciting opportunities and enhancements coming out of this with time and planning.
This could have been one of those situations. There were things that we'd talked about and thought about, but just never moved on. And now we kind of have to, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it was kind of that you're working on as many initiatives as you can, but when you're forced into it, you do that. And you had mentioned something else that the campus is starting on, and that's moving to a new learning management system. So students would be familiar with Moodle, which is the platform we use now, and we're moving to a new product called Canvas that's going to give us a lot more capabilities in terms of supporting classes online. And so we're very excited. That's getting started this summer to get the product in place. The plan is during the fall semester that we take plenty of time to work with our faculty and students to train them on how the system works. So everybody, before we start using it in spring 2021, feels like they've had time to understand it, understand the tools, the capabilities, and how to use it.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So one of the things all of this takes is money, and the university did get some money through the CARES Act. Dr. Vargas, do you want to talk about that and what that meant for the institution?
Yes, of course. We're very happy that we were able to participate in that program and receive some funding from the federal government from the CARES Act. Mm-hmm. And we, at the end of the day, we received just over $6.8 million. Now, 3.4 of that, 50%, came to us, and we were required to share that with the students to help the students because of expenses that they might have had as a result of the pandemic. And that we continue to do, and I think the last numbers I heard, Kathy can correct me, they're just over $2 million or so that we've actually handed out. Now there's been some modification to the guidelines, and so now the money, the students can actually apply for some of that money for the summer also to take care of classes and tuition and those kinds of things, expenditures that they might have had. Now, the other half came to the university. And so that is what we are, we quite not have received that money yet, but when we receive it, we're going to see what are the guidelines that we can use that money for. So that certainly has been helpful. Now, that doesn't quite make us whole in some way, but that's certainly some advantage of with where we would have been otherwise.
Kathy, let's talk about events. I know events canceled up through June 30th, and once we get to July, things are going to start opening up as we stand right now. So what does July look like as we move into the summer?
Yes, so we're starting back with some events smaller in size. One of the things that in talking with the health department that they helped us realize is that starting with smaller events and even some of those, if it's residential camps, gives us the opportunity to kind of test out our plans that we're developing for the fall when you're going to have larger events and larger number of students in residence halls. So things like Camp Red Hawks is going on. And that does have a residential component, means that individuals come and stay in our residence halls. So, again, that lets our staff work through those draft plans we've put together, look at how you keep people, you know, social distance and practice those hygiene. So, so we're coming back on a limited basis, I would say, in July. And, again, we have a subcommittee of our emergency response team that is specifically working on events and mass gatherings. One of the things that people should realize as they think about events coming to campus, that we do need to put some other safety procedures in place. So things like they may be asked to sign in and provide us their name, their phone number, their email. In the event something happens and they need to be contacted, the health department is going to ask for that information. So there may be a little bit more time and a little bit more procedures in participating in an event here. But again, it's all about the safety of the campus and our visitors.
It's almost like that trace, to be able to trace back and say, yeah, in case you would need to. Hopefully it would never be needed, but in
hopefully
case.
Not. But we want to have good procedures in place that help us work with our local health department and officials should that be needed.
What do we know about athletics for the semester? Do we know yet what's going to happen with athletics?
Athletics is now going to be active. We're going to have student athletes here. The first group of student athletes will be the football players. I think they're supposed to be here early July. So just after the 4th of July weekend, In some ways, that's going to give us an opportunity to start dealing with student presence on campus again. Okay. And the Department of Athletics has been working very hard to develop plans, and as part of actually the emergency response team. So they're part of this group. And they're working with Dr. McFerrin, who is actually part of the Southeast Health, to make sure that we put in place the protocols that are needed to ensure that we are minimizing the risk of transmission. And they're developing plans in case there's a positive case identified, how they deal with it, where they can actually have the student spend time, not necessarily quarantine, but in isolation for a period of time. So they're going to be here. The student athletes are coming.
We got a few minutes left, but I have a couple more questions in my mind. So I guess is there more guidance to come on wearing masks in class, not wearing masks, wearing masks on campus, or all that? Is that all still to come yet, Kathy?
Guidance? That's still being worked through. The emergency response team, as I said, several subcommittees get involved with that, and they're gathering input from others on campus. We need to make sure in our classrooms that, you know, we talk a lot about the students, but our faculty as well. We need to make sure that they're comfortable, and what we end up requiring and set as guidelines works for them and works for the classroom. So we're also gathering input from students, because they're the other component. You know, what for them are they comfortable with? What's their expectations? When they come here, what do they expect us to do to keep them safe in terms of wearing masks? So, yes, that is all being finalized with our goal of that being done here in the month of July, so that we can share that out with the campus in advance and with our students and parents. So we're actually looking at several methods of how we can share that out and kind of do a question and answer for the groups that we need to get that information to, not just on campus, but our students and parents.
And that information, of course, as we noted, will be on cmo.edu/COVID-19. All that will be there. We've got about a minute. So as of right now, still working on plans for commencement, right?
Yes.
That's
yes.
In progress. And then spring 2021.
That's also a work in progress. Right now, going to be transitioning to plan our spring semester. We've already had some initial conversations, but we need to solidify them and then communicate it to the larger community, to the students, to the faculty. That has to happen very soon, too.
So if anyone has questions, I see an email address, so they could email covid19@cmo.edu, I guess, Kathy, with any questions they might have?
Yes, absolutely. We developed that actually back in March before we all moved to teleworking, so we have several individuals who monitor that so that we can keep up with the questions. And, we'll be watching that and happy to provide any additional information.
Great. Kathy, Dr. Vargas, thank you both for being here today. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
We've been going public with Southeast President Carlos Vargas and Kathy Mangles, Vice President for Finance and Administration. To hear more going public interviews, visit krcu.org.